When you thank God, there's a blessing tied to it. When you worship God, there's a blessing tied to it. When you praise God, there's blessing tied to it. So we've been talking about that for this month. Now, much of our focus, and I know you'll agree with this, much of our focus is on how God blesses those who walk in His ways. And there's nothing wrong with that focus. Amen? And we can have that focus all because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And the Bible teaches us that those who are in Christ, they are in a state of blessing. Can I get an amen? We are in a state of blessing. So as sons and daughters of God, we seek God's blessings to be upon our lives, do we not? And no question, God desires to bless His people. So when we are blessed by God, we are recipients of His favor on our lives. If you get a new vehicle, a new car, a new truck, you know, that's a blessing to be able to have that. If you get a new house, a new apartment, that's a blessing. Amen? If you get an increase in your job, you got a raise or you got a promotion, that's a blessing. Somebody just gave you a gift or gave you money. That's a blessing. Amen. All of those are blessings. And that's why the Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So we are all recipients of His favor on our lives. Now, when God blesses us, we are helped in some way. We are encouraged in some way. When God blesses us, our lives are made better by some favor that He has bestowed upon us. Amen? When God blesses us, favor is bestowed, and our lives are made better. I can tell you that life with the Lord is better than life without the Lord. Much, much, much better. Amen? Our lives are made better because of His favor. But the Scripture also declares that we can and we should bless God. But God is not a man in need of favor as we are. He doesn't need a car. He doesn't need a house. He doesn't need his business increased. He doesn't need a new job. He's God. He's not a man, so He doesn't have need as humanity does. So what does it mean to bless God? And the Scripture talks about that. So I've simply entitled this message today, I Will Bless the Lord. Amen? I Will Bless the Lord. All right, so let me give you some examples of where we find this blessing God in Scripture. First of all, Psalms 100, verse 4, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations. So bless the Lord, he says. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. All right, then we read this in Psalms 103, and you notice the similarity. Psalms 103, verse 1, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. See, the benefits, that's the blessings, right? God blesses His people, those that honor Him, those that serve Him. Every time you make a decision to obey God's word in whatever instruction you are following, whatever instruction you make a decision to obey, there is a blessing that follows that. So David understood that. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Then in Psalms 145:10, He says, and your work shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Now, how many of you know he's not talking about Drew Brees or Alvin Kamara or the million-dollar man Michael Thomas? Right? He's not talking about those guys. They're blessed with a lot of money, right? In the physical sense. But doesn't necessarily mean that all football players are blessed of God. Because let me tell you, the devil has a prosperity program too. Amen. And he made a promise to, or made a declaration, an offer to Jesus. If you'll serve me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. You know, so, you know, he's got a prosperity program, no doubt about it. But he's not talking about football. He's talking about the people of God. If you're a born again child of God, you are a saint. Because what does the word saint mean? It simply means one who is set apart, one who is dedicated. That's all it means. One who is set apart, one who is called out. That's why the Bible says we are called to be saints. He calls us out of sin. He calls us out of bondage, calls us out of this world. And we are saints. We are, if you are a born again child of God, you are a saint, my friend. That's biblical teaching, biblical understanding. So it says that all of your works will praise you and your saints shall bless you. Psalms 145:10. So what does that really mean to bless God? We have an understanding of what it means to thank God. We have an understanding of what it means to praise God. Generally, we thank him for a provision or something that he has done for us. We praise him because of his mighty works. But David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless him. So let's answer that question in the next few minutes. What does it mean to bless God? All right, first of all, understand this. Blessing God is an expression of gratitude. When we bless God, we are giving him an expression of our gratefulness. Blessing God is an expression of praising thankfulness. It's dependent upon what's going on the inside of us. See, that's why the world at large doesn't bless God, because God is not in them. He's not in everybody. How many of you know that? Amen? He is not in everybody. The Lord is not in all people. There are people in our world, in our society, and we talked about it last week, living among this entitled generation. People feel that they are entitled to something. The Bible teaches quite the contrary. We are not entitled to anything. And that's the very definition of the word grace, is that we receive what we are not entitled to. We receive what we are not deserving of. Amen? It's a free gift of God. Hallelujah. It's a free gift. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. There's nothing we could do to get his favor. He offers it as a free gift. That, my friend, is the awesomeness of grace. But this entitled generation, they don't get that. They don't understand that because the Lord is not working in them. The moment the Lord starts working in somebody and we present ourselves to God, we dedicate ourselves to God. And listen, I need to say this. When you give your life to the Lord, you live for him. Are y'all with me? A lot of people think it's just easy believism. Well, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says Satan believes in Jesus and he, you know, he's not saved. Right? Amen. Somebody wanted to know, can the devil be saved? No. Devil can't be saved. He's over. He's done. He's history. He's toast. Amen. He's a defeated enemy. He's a defeated enemy. He's going to have his end. And every time, I know it's a cliche, but, you know, I've heard it thrown around so many times. Every time the devil brings up your past, bring up his future. Amen? It is a little cliche, but hey, it's still good, right? And it's truth. Amen. And he's always wanting to bring up your past. Well, just bring up his future. Shut up, devil. Get behind me, Satan. That's what Jesus said. Amen. But the world at large, see, you can't really bless the Lord unless he's working in you. That's why David said, I will bless him for all of his benefits, for all that he's doing inside of me. It is an expression of gratitude. The word bless, it comes from, it's a very ancient Hebrew word. It's in English, barak or barak, if that rings a bell. In Hebrew, it is pronounced bara. It's the Hebrew word bara. It means to kneel in worship as an act of adoration. That's what the word bless in Hebrew means. To kneel in worship as an act of adoration. So the concept of the word, it means to adore with bended knees. To bless God is to be moved by the very nature and character of who God is. And when you get a revelation of him, my friends, and it can happen at any moment. I can tell you, I have been driving around in my truck sometimes. And just all of a sudden, I'll have this emotion come over me. I just get overwhelmed with the goodness of who God is. And, you know, it might be a song that I worship song. I don't really like to listen a whole lot to the radio, but I'd love to listen to worship music when I'm driving in my truck. And it might just be a certain song, and it's communicating a certain truth. And I'll get overwhelmed with that. And man, I keep a box of Kleenex in my console, because I might just start crying. You know, because I just get overwhelmed, you know, with just a truth of God's nature and his character. And you know, and sometimes, man, I might even have the urge to just pull over on the side of the road and just have a moment of worship with God. A guy I used to fish with years ago, he said he was fishing by himself one morning. He said he was out at daybreak, and he said it was that moment of the dawn's light. And he said, he could see the stars still in the night sky, and then all of a sudden the light began to invade. And he said, all of a sudden he just got overwhelmed with the very person of God. And he said, I threw the fishing pole down, and he said, I kneeled down right there in my boat, and I began to worship God. Hallelujah. See, he got a revelation of the very person and nature of God, and he kneeled. That's what this word means, the concept of this word, to adore with bended knee, moved by the nature of who he is. Look at Psalms 95 and verse 6. 95:6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Let us kneel before him. Now, let me pose a question to you. What did the wise men do when they found Jesus in Matthew 2? Of course, we're going to be in Christmas season, and you'll see nativity scenes on people's yards and you know, in different places, and you'll see the wise men. You know, they'll have the manger scene, they'll have the wise men, and when they came, when the wise men found Jesus in Matthew 2, and they came, and what did they do? They fell down, the Bible says. They bowed down and they worshiped him. Why did they do that? Because they had a revelation of who he was. He had not gone to the cross yet. He didn't die for any sins yet. But they had a revelation of who Jesus was. So when they find him, what do? They bless him. They kneel. They worship. See, that's what blessing is, to bless God. It's being moved by the revelation of who he is. What does it mean to bless God? Here's number two. Understand this, that God is already blessed, but we can call him blessed. I love this example in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is defending his own character in the city of Corinth when he declared the God that he was serving. The people were accusing him. They were questioning his character, questioning his genuineness. And he began to tell them that my boasting is not in myself. I am not boasting of my own, of my own revelation or my own understanding or education or any of those things. And then in his defense, he gives us this incredible statement in 2 Corinthians 11:31, when he says, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying." God was his witness, in other words. But the first statement in that verse, "The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever." That's why he's not man. Now listen, don't ever refer to God as the man upstairs. People do that all the time. Well, the man upstairs. Well, what man is that? You're not talking about the God I know. Because the God I know, the Bible says, is not a man. But people have these false concepts of who God is. See, they can't really bless God because they have a distorted view of who he is. But Paul is stating this fact that he is blessed. God is blessed forevermore. So then David said, throughout the Psalms, "I will call him blessed at all times." In other words, I will live in adoration of who he is. Are you living in that adoration, my friend, of who he is? Do you have a revelation of who he is? Listen, every time that we go through something in life, we will always be faced with a challenge to question the character of God. And it's traced all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Satan submitted that thought into Eve's mind. God is holding out on you. He's not really righteous. He's holding out on you. He convinced her of that, because God doth know on the day that you eat of this tree, you'll be just like God. You'll have the same knowledge and understand. He's holding out from you. He convinced her. He deceived her. But the Bible says, David said in the Psalms, that the Lord God will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. Not one. He won't withhold any good thing. Why? Because he is blessed. He is in a position of blessedness. So again, what does it mean to bless God? He's already blessed. But David said, "I will call him blessed." Based upon my revelation of who he is, every time I bow down, I am adoring him. I am blessing him. Isn't that amazing that God blesses us, but we can bless him? And that brings me to the third thing. See, because to bless God is an act of consecration. I want to talk to you about that word consecration, because that's a lost word today. The word consecration. But it's a very, very important word. And it's a very biblical thought. The word consecration is defined in the English dictionary this way: a solemn dedication to a special purpose or service. So all of our volunteers, over 100 volunteers for West Point Church, we thank you for your consecration. Because you have dedicated yourself to a special purpose or service. Amen. Those who faithfully honor God with their finances and acknowledge him, you are demonstrating your consecration to him. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the ministry of Ron Blue, but Ron Blue is a financial guy. He's a financial expert. He used to speak many, many times at Promise Keepers meetings back in the 90s. And he is the guy that lays out the 411 on money. And one of his primary concepts, and this guy teaches in all over America, And one of his primary concepts is that giving is tied to consecration. And he said, you can't separate the two. He said, it all goes back to what's going on in the heart of a person. He said, because when the heart of a person is consecrated to God, when the heart of a person is dedicated to God, he said, you can't stop them. He said, it's like the nature of God's generosity begins to take over in their lives. And, he's right, because it's biblical. It's found in the Word of God. We were leaving the fishing camp the other day, and I had to go back to the camp, and I didn't realize all of our guys were already cleared out of there, and I just went back and wanted to wash my hands, and the cleaning lady was already there, and I just felt impressed to just reach into my wallet and just bless her with some money, and she was shocked, and she was like, "Oh, bless you, sir." I said, "No, bless you. You know, I'm blessing you." You know, how many of you know you should always follow when you have an inclination like that? You should always follow. I remember years ago we were in North Louisiana in Natchitoches, Louisiana. And we were at a church conference there. And some minister friends of ours had invited us. And, you know, everything kind of closes down early. And, it's not like the city, you know. And, you know, everything shuts down. So I told Becky, I said, I want to go get something to eat before we go to this church service. These services are going kind of long. I said, I want to get something to eat, you know, before we go. So we went to Huddle House, right? They have Huddle House? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was one of those. And we sat down, and I ordered a club sandwich. Now, how many of y'all know what a club sandwich is? Y'all know what a club, if I give you a test, you'll be able to tell me what a club sandwich is. It's just on toast, and it's got these different sandwich meats, right? You know, it's got bacon on it. Club sandwich. All right, so I ordered a club sandwich off the menu. All right, so when the waitress brought the meal, she brought our meal out and said a BLT, something like a BLT sandwich down in front of me. It was a hamburger. And I looked at that, and I was like, "Miss, this is not what I ordered." She said, "Well, you ordered a club sandwich." I said, "Yeah, miss, this is not a club sandwich." I said, "You don't know what a club sandwich is?" And she said, "No, I guess I don't." I said, "Look, it's all right. I said, I'm going to eat it. Don't worry about it." "You sure?" I said, "Yeah, don't worry about it." All right, so then at the time to pay the bill, our bill was cheap. It was under a little bit under $20. So I put a $20 bill down to pay the bill, and then I said, "And this $20 is for you." And she just kind of like jumped back, and she ran out. She ran to the back of the restaurant. And I was like, "Now that's the first time I've ever seen money offend people. They're usually running towards it, not away from it." So then she came out in tears and said that one of the coworkers working in the kitchen, you know, kind of went through a bad marriage situation. And she's got young kids, and all of the waitresses said, "We're going to take all the tips we get tonight. And we're gonna, because it was Christmas time, and we're gonna give it to you to help you buy some gifts for the kids." So you gotta follow your intuition, because on normal circumstance, I would not have put down a $20 tip, but I had that inclination. All right, so then what did I do? Well, then I opened my wallet and I gave I had $80-something in my wallet. I gave it all. And we walked out of there, and they were saying, "Bye, Merry Christmas." The whole kitchen crew. Listen, see that's what consecration does. And the Word of God teaches us, you know, that we should be so consecrated to the Lord that we should be able to follow those intuitions, because God wants to use us Amen. And listen, when we do that, I'm telling you, we are blessing God. We are blessing God. It's an act of consecration. Let me illustrate it in Romans chapter 12. We're almost done. Romans chapter 12. I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. Listen to what this says. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and I beg of you in view of all the mercies of God. All the mercies. Psalms 146. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his mercy endures forever. It goes and lists all these things about God. And then it says, for his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. I think it's Psalms 136. For his mercy endures forever. For his mercy endures forever. See, that's a character of God. That's the nature of who he is. All right, isn't it interesting? Paul says, dedicate yourselves, consecrate yourselves to him in light of the kind of God he is. That he is a God of great, great mercy. In view of all of his mercies, make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted. Look at what it says. Consecrated. Consecrated and well-pleasing. Whenever we do something that pleases God, we are blessing him. Hallelujah. Any act of kindness, we are blessing him. Financial seed, whether it's in the local church to support God's work or to help someone in need, we are blessing him. And we are taught right here that we should do that. And he says it is our reasonable, our rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. An act of consecration. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Here's the fourth thing. To bless God is to exalt him. To exalt him. Psalms 34. We started with Psalms 34. We had it in the beginning of the message. In Psalms 34, verse 3. It says that we are to magnify the Lord and exalt his name together. When you and I come into a worship service and we join our hearts together and we begin to worship God, I am telling you, there is a blessing that is released in the midst of that unity. Hallelujah. It is released upon us when we bless him and exalt him and magnify his name together. I am telling you, we are blessing God. And when God is being blessed, he is moving. Hallelujah. He's not blessed in the sense of you and I as human beings and all that we need, because all that we need is tied to the earth. But what God is moved by is the dedication of our hearts, a consecration of our hearts, our praise, our worship, our thanksgiving. He is above all else. To bless God is to exalt him. To exalt him means that he is above all else. His name is above all other names. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. That's why when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, there's only one name that's going to stand out. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, the name for God was Adonai. In the New Testament, it's Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank God that Jesus Christ is Adonai. He is Yeshua, and his name is above all other names. Hallelujah. When I come into the house of God, I'm ready to come to worship him. I am ready to come and meet with him. I am coming to bless the Lord. That's why David said, I was glad, very glad, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wish I could get people as excited about church as they are about going to them Saints games. Come on, somebody. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Let's tear all the idols down. What time's that kickoff? I'm going to be finished by that time. I love football. I love the Saints. But I'm going to tell you this. I'd rather be here declaring the word of God on a Sunday than be in the Tom Benson seat with all suite with all the food and all the, listen, no other place I'd rather be. Let's get it in. Let's get our ducks lined up in order. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because we're talking about blessing God. Hallelujah. We're talking about exalting his name together. Bless him. I want to bless him. What does it mean to bless God? Here's the fifth thing. To bless the Lord means gratitude for provision. Gratitude for provision. I love this illustration in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, we'll sit down Thursday. We'll bless our meal. Amen. We'll all, wherever we go, wherever house we gather at, whatever family member, we will all rejoice and give God thanks for what he has provided. That there's food on our table. I know we're going to have smoked turkey. We're going to have baked turkey. We're going to have oyster dressing, even though I had to get oysters from Texas. We're going to have cornbread dressing. We're going to have, what else is on the menu? Well, tell me later. That, amen. We're going to give thanks for all. And then afterwards, the pecan. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. The pecan pie. Hallelujah. The pumpkin pie. Oh, hallelujah. Little Debbie snack cake. So that'll excite me. You just don't know the self-control that must be exercised. Hallelujah. But we're going to give him thanks before we partake of that meal. But in ancient Israel, they gave thanks after the meal. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. He says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. He goes on and he says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you, lest when you have eaten and are full and you have built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and your herds and your flocks are multiplied, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. How many of you realize God blessed his people in the Old Testament? And they were enjoying all of it. And he said, don't think for one moment that it's all because of you. He said, it's because of me. It's because of what I have provided. It's because of what I have done. So in verse 14, he says, don't let your heart be lifted up that you would forget the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage, led you through the great and terrible wilderness where there were fiery serpents and scorpions and a land where there was no water. He gave you water out of a rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. That you would say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand had gained me this wealth. He says, don't ever allow that to happen. Don't ever allow your attitude to say, my power and the might of my hand has given me this wealth. Are y'all with me? See, that's why it's important that you release to God a portion of your finances. Because if you don't, what you're saying is, this is mine. This belongs to me. It's not what the word teaches. Then he says in verse 18, remember, it is the Lord God who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Gratitude for provision. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Number six, the last and final one. What does it mean to bless God? To say God is blessed, it means praise beyond words. Last Sunday's message was about thanks be unto God for his indescribable, or as the King James Bible says, his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for that. And we expounded of how the person of Jesus Christ is really beyond words. Interesting. To say God is blessed the definition of the word in the Hebrew lexicon. It means to praise him beyond words. And it's based upon a revelation of who he is, of the kind of God he is. Look at what David says. This is an awesome story in 1 Chronicles 29. It's the story of the building of the temple. And there's a lot going on. There was a lot that happened for the temple to be constructed. One of the amazing things in Israel is that we got to be there on that temple site. In just incredible, incredible, incredible. Such a moving experience. David is recognizing God. And he's passing the mantle to the next king, which would be his son, Solomon. And this is what he says. I love this. David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. He said, "Blessed are you, Lord God, our Father, forever and ever." It's 1 Chronicles 29:10. What does it mean to bless God? He's already blessed. He's already blessed forevermore. Paul said he is blessed forever. What is David saying? "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord." He's got a revelation, folks. He's got a revelation of who God is. He says, "You are exalted as head over all. Both, listen, riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this?" Look at this acknowledgement. "For all things come from you. And of your own we have given back to you." Do you see this? Most people don't get it. I pray you get it. I pray you walk out of here today and you'll get the revelation. Man, blessed be God and all that is within me. He says, "We are aliens and pilgrims before you, as our fathers were, and all of our days on earth are like a shadow and without hope." In other words, our hope is not in this existence. Our expectancy is beyond everything we see here, because our expectancy is eternity. And isn't that amazing? Because the Bible says, "Set not your affection on things here below, but set your affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, blessed forevermore. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. So mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." In other words, don't live for this world. Don't be driven by lust. Don't be driven by covetousness. Don't be driven by any of the things that all of the world is driven by. Because, thank God, we are in a position with Jesus of being blessed forevermore.